We Like Dota, episode 265, is brought to you by the generous support of our patrons. Patrons like Yo Draven, Ninja Skelts, Samson Magnuson, RX Cowbell, Surreal, CBX, Mr. Fancy Pants, Beandorp, Modster, Icebug, Spanguin, Titus Andromedon, Dank, Xynosen, Dolly Kalschev, Paul Turner, Jeffrey Peterson, Digital Nick, Edge, Javier Latuplay, and Wisp. If you want to know how to become a patron, go to our website at welikedota.com and follow the links to our Patreon. We Like Dota, episode 265, starts now. Hello and welcome to We Like Dota, episode 265. I am your host for today, A2K, and today I have with me the one, the only, the wonderful Charlene. How are you doing today, Charlene?
Hello, Suns fan A2K hybrid.
Suns fan 2K, very
good. Suns fan 2K, there we go, yeah.
I was molded by him, adopted by him.
Suns 2K.
Yeah. I heard you had a, like, holiday thing-ish.
So, oh, man.
What's up with that, Charlene?
Well, a while ago, it was also Thanksgiving, and I remember you guys being like, or you were like, what's the difference between the two Thanksgivings, like Canadian versus American? I gave such a terrible answer, and now you're going to ask me what the difference is between Remembrance Day and Veterans Day.
Yeah.
So here we go. We like
yet
history.
Another episode of Charlene doesn't know anything about her public
holidays. I know nothing. I'm really, really bad. okay, so did a quick lesson from Bay one day when we were at the mall, and Remembrance Day is all the like British Commonwealths have their own day for it, but in Canada it is commemorating during maybe World War One. There was some battle, and then like all the soldiers were buried in a field that has a bunch of poppy flowers. So in Canada, the remembrance happens by you buying a poppy flower pin thing, and then you put it on your shirt and you wear it like during the week, and you just remember your fallen soldiers and the war and stuff that happened. And yeah, Remembrance
cool.
Day.
Yeah.
I did it.
We have one of those in Germany as well, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't know anything about German holidays. It was, I know something about one German holiday, though. This Saturday was the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Oh, wow, okay.
Wait, were you alive when the wall fell, Charlene?
Yeah, I would have been 1 year old.
Damn, how did you experience it live?
I was probably crying.
Aww.
Tears of joy and also sadness.
It's just interesting. When you were like, I don't know, like 10 or something, did you hear something about the fall, like the aftermath, like East and West Germany reuniting? Did that like burst into your very limited 10-year-old political bubble?
Probably not. But I mean, at that point when I was learning about the history, it was all like already happened. And when I was 16, I did visit Germany for a short time, and
ooh,
I went
you
did.
To
I did
I never knew this
yeah and part of that trip I went to Lübeck and Schwerin. Did I say those right?
Lübeck, I mean, kind of. I know which cities do you mean, but that's
okay.
That's pretty odd, like cities to visit if you're only in Germany for like a week or something.
It was part of a cruise, so like we
a
were
cruise.
Only it was a cruise around the Baltic, so we were literally only there for a few hours. And I can't remember, are they both in East
Lübeck
Germany?
And Schwerin. I think Lübeck is in West Germany. I could be wrong, but let me check here. Live research.
But yeah, I remember going there and stuff, and I was just like, okay, it'd be cool though to actually be in Berlin. But that's okay.
Very nice. All right, Lübeck is
someday.
In West Germany.
Ishvarin and East?
I think so.
Yeah, because I think the reason those two were chosen was like, oh, you can see the difference between the two sides, and I don't really remember.
Yeah, East Germany.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I don't remember seeing too much of a contrast. But I was also young and unappreciative of finer cultural, historical things. But I guess that hasn't really changed because I'm still not much of a history person.
True, true. Ignorant as always, Charlene.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
All my brain power goes into science.
All right. Yeah, I think that's a good entry. Let's get into the Dota feeling, Charlene.
Oh, yeah! Oh, look at it go! Oh, yeah!
Aha. Welcome to Dota Feelings. Charlene, how was your week in Dota? And how did it make you feel?
Pretty sad. My week in Dota was pretty sad. Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because the majority of the Dota that I played was our WLDL match, and we sadly lost, and I don't disagree with our decision, but at the same time, it's just like, oh, I wonder what would have happened in an alternate timeline. But game one, there was a huge pause, and we were kind of getting our way back into the game.
Yeah,
and
I think was frustrating.
Yeah, like, it's nobody's fault, right? Like, I think Monster was the one who accidentally knocked some water onto his keyboard. So, like, that sucks. We'll wait because this is a finals game and I don't want to just, like, default to anything. But, like, it was.
But then
such
again,
a
after,
pause.
Like, 25 minutes, it's getting.
Yeah.
The pause gets into ridiculous territory. And, I mean, we could have said, like, all right, like, we'll just make you guys forfeit. But we decided to, in the spirit of sportsmanship, keep the pause going after 15 minutes.
Yeah, and like it was right after we took a pretty good fight.
Yeah, right after we won a team fight.
Right, and then afterwards I think we tried to make some movements but we were just derailed and then they took Roche and then they won. And it's like, oh, okay.
So we like won a team fight right before and then they paused. And after they unpaused, because like we had a miss unpaused that was too early after like and that took like 10 seconds from us.
Which was
Ursi's fault, actually.
Ursi is the
like,
one who
he
just
like unpaused and I was like, what the hell, Ursi? You don't do that. I do that. God. Yeah, Ursi didn't want to win. and then like after the second unpaused, they were just like suddenly appeared at our mid tier 2 without us having any chance of like trying to secure that part of the map from them. So that was definitely the part of the pause that, like, really was frustrating to me personally.
Yeah. And then we, like, tried to organize on that, and then we took way too long, and then they took Roche,
and then we just lost after that. It's bad. Well, anyway, we won a game. We still went 2-1. I'm not, like, sore about losing, I think, because, honestly, the series after that, I think in the form that our team was in, generally, I don't think there's a like good conceivable chance that we beat Team Tempest. Like, sure, you never know, but I think Team Tempest is still a vastly better team than we were in that formation.
Yeah, I think you're right. I want to take a moment, though, and revel in my Mirana play. Mm. I was pretty happy with that. My item build maybe wasn't on point because I was like, ooh, I'm doing well. I'm going to build into damage. But I should have gotten like a pipe or something. But that game was fun. Game two.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah.
What about you? How are your Dota feelings?
Well, as I said, I've been trying to like maybe get a bit back to my roots. So since WLDL is now over, and I mean, I still play a shit ton of games with Bear. But I'm playing more mid again in my solo queues. I'm moving away from offlane and I'm going back to mid. Because I think at the end of the day, mid is still like my primary role. It's what I started out as. Like sometimes if I can't avoid it, I play something else, like in WLDL, where I like actively made a lot of effort to become a decent offlane player. But I think mid is still by far my strongest role. So in solo queues, playing mid has been really good because I calibrated to like Legend 3. So like I haven't lost a lane yet and I haven't lost a game yet in my solo queue mid games.
Nice.
But of course, as I get higher, that will obviously change. Yeah, that's my like mid. And then also because I wanted to like also try something like new stuff to keep me excited, so I've been playing some Rubik. Position 4.
Rubik.
And no, like, Rubik. At some things I try, like position 5 playing, I'm really bad, but I feel like I'm kind of good on Rubik after like 3 games. Like, maybe it's just the... Some, like, actually good Rubik players will have to educate me on this, but maybe it's just the fact that because of the way Rubik works, anytime you do anything, you're like, wow, this feels so good, I'm such a pro, just like for any stone spell.
Everything feels like a two.
Yeah, literally. Like, everything feels like, oh my god, did I just really do that? I'm a god at Dota. Which is, like, totally not how I feel about Dota usually. Like, sometimes in a kill, I have, like, 15 kills, and I'm like, I don't know, I played kind of bad this game. And then, like, with Rubik, like, I do one stun, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm so good at this hero. Jesus, why am I not drafted for Tia yet? Like, it's weird.
I don't know. I think that Rubik definitely has a lot of, like, he's a very interactive and you get, like, good immediate feedback on him because you get to steal someone else's spell and then use that spell, like, outside of his kit. So I can understand that.
Yeah.
But I played a couple games with you where you were Rubik.
Yeah, how'd you like it?
I think. And, yeah, no, I think you did good. I can't remember anything specific.
Wow. God damn it. All right.
Sorry. Okay.
Nah, I don't know. It's a hard hero. I feel like just generally support play, my vision is pretty okay. I need to work on my dewarding. Like, I've dewarded, like, in my 4 games, I've dewarded, like, 5 observers or something. Like, I'm really bad at finding the enemy's observers and sentries. But I'm really good.
Wait, 5 dewards is not a small amount. That's pretty
really
good.
In like 3 games. I feel like you should have at least like 4.
Oh, okay, sorry, I thought you meant like,
no, not in
one
game.
Nah,
over 3 games. So that's like pretty bad.
I was about to say, don't be a sourpuss over getting 5 D words in one game.
I'd be very happy with that. So that's a thing I'm bad at, but I think I'm pretty good at like my own vision. I feel like when I play Rubik, we always have good vision and maps of the in parts of the map where we need to be. And I think that's also one of the reasons why most captains play support. Because through where they establish a vision, they, if they have good players on their team, they basically control where your team is going to play. So it's a very good way to passively lead your... Well, you're doing something actively. You're actively leading your team, but you're doing it in a passive way of influencing them. Because you're not like saying like, hey, let's be in this part. You're just like making the part of the map that they want to be in anyway more accessible to them.
It's mind games.
Yeah, pretty much. You're mind gaming your
basically
own team.
It's like, oh yeah, look, this area of the map is all safe, yeah, let's go there.
Then again, people in pubs also just like suck because I haven't won a game yet on my support Rubik and solo queue. Even though I feel like I've played really well. I like got like my lane got 4 kills minimum every time and I still lost the game. Like I'm usually really bad at laning and then I somehow win the game, except in mid where it's the opposite. And like this week it's just the whole like it's the complete opposite. I played Chaos Knight yesterday and I got 5 kills in lane at like 4 minutes. And then we still just like got stomped in the grand scheme of things. It's a rough world out there, Charlene. Sometimes you can't do anything, but you still lose. Yeah, but I think that about sums up my week. What, Charlene, I want to ask you, what do you think the future holds for you? as a Dota player? What's your next step?
Question.
Because for me, like personally, after WLDL, it's the end of my Dota year. Like the end of my regular year is like New Year's, Sylvester, stuff like that. But the end of my Dota year is WLDL. So.
Wow, so it's time to make like New Year's resolutions? It's time
to reflect on my year in Dota, which I'm generally happy with. I think I improved a decent amount this year. But it also, like, it's a time for me to think about my future as a Dota player, you know?
Dude, I wasn't ready for this. I think
sorry for beating you over the head with this deep dive. I realized
that I'm a casual gamer. Yeah, I know. I've realized I'm a casual gamer. I think I used to see myself as more like in the growing phase and still like open to getting better and learning things and stuff. And now I'm a filthy casual.
That's very interesting to me because I felt like you were really excited every time I put you in WLDL.
I was, because, I don't know, I always kind of felt like I was part of the team, but not really.
I mean,
like, I felt like you were embarrassed and you were hiding.
No, I wasn't doing that. So it was nice to... Come on. That's, you can't say that. That's making me sad.
That's how I feel. These are my WLDL feelings.
How can you assume that? It was because of the time, because we always started at like 8 or 7. You know that.
No, I know. Like,
thank God, I would have been heartbroken.
But, aw.
I won't spoil anything about my next lineup. But if you remember when I picked you up, yeah, Charlene's in it. Thank you. When I picked you up, you were still in your like, I'm not sure if I even want to play Dota anymore. So you should actually, I feel like, give me credit that even though you like. Officially were done in Dota, I still drafted you in my team, even though it was as a sub.
I know. Okay. I'm sorry. I appreciate you. Thank you.
I just wanted to make the circumstances crystal clear here. All right. Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. All right. Should we move on, Charlene? What do you think? Move on to the news?
Yeah, let's go on to the news.
To read the future, I need entrails.
The news this week are pretty okay. We had a minor, but unfortunately, I didn't watch anything because of the time zones. But I heard it was a pretty good minor. Did you see some of the content bits they did?
I didn't. You like mentioned it, and I tried looking
so
it up, but I could only find
the minor
highlights
of the
games.
Dota Summit 11. It was the first summit which had a live audience, which apparently went really well, and their content was like out of this world good. Summit always does the best content, I feel like, but they're like always also find a way to step it up. And if you haven't watched the content, I encourage you guys to go to the Beyond the Summit YouTube channel and watch some of those content pieces because they were really incredibly good.
Nice.
Yeah, let's talk about the tournament in depth a bit, even though we haven't watched it.
Yeah, just looking at
Charlene,
the
winner was IG.
That's all I'm gonna
what
be
do you think about this?
I think that's fine. I want to talk more about who came in second.
You want to talk about Chaos Esports?
Yeah.
The boys, yeah. The Quincy crew, the lads?
Quincy crew, because at the major, I was really hoping that Quincy crew would do
what
really
major?
Well, because then Sumail... The last one.
Huh?
The ESL.
Oh, sorry, that wasn't a major. That was a regular
tournament. Sorry. Okay. Well, no. Okay. Back up. Didn't Quincy crew like qualify? They won a minor and they qualified for a major, right? And then Sumail left and then there was an event?
No, that was ESL. Like they qualified for ESL, but nobody knows this for sure, right. But rumors that have been flying around say that he still has some issues with his contract at EG, and that's why he can't officially play.
Drama?
I don't think it's drama.
It's an appetizer.
Like, I'm pretty sure that company that's that established and respected as EG has the resources to not be forced to like force their players into really bad contracts. You know what I mean? Like it
sounds
juicy. Yeah, I don't know. It's, I mean, a lot of sports contracts have this, just to like can't go to another team and like immediately, as long as it's not like 5 years and we own your soul. It's just, I mean, I don't think it should be like that, but it's a part of like most contracts.
It happens like all the time, though. Like once you leave a team, you're gonna play for another team. Exactly.
Yeah, like, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't like the fact that like contracts like that exist, but I think we shouldn't single out EG over any other org, because I can almost guarantee you that 90% of all orgs like NIP, EG, and Liquid have something like that in their contracts. Of course, varying in the amount of time that they like keep you from playing, but still. Yeah, those contracts like that are really, really, really complicated. All right.
Okay. Anyways, what I was saying was I'm hyped that they came in second because they don't need to mail. They don't need a TI winner.
CCNC is like a really good player. He's like been rank one NA for what, like 2 years now or something, almost consistently the whole season through.
Is Artur not number
one? Oh, yeah, my bad. Artur is number one. CCNC is like up there in the top five. I don't think there's a huge, like, I don't know. Like, if you're top five.
Our boy Arteezy. You forgot.
If you're
about
top five NA, in my eyes, you might as well be top one, just because it's, like, so inachievable in my mind that it's kind of the same, you know? Like, it's already so far out of the realm of achievable things, like. Rank 5, rank 1, who really cares?
But yeah, they did it without Samil. They got some new guy, I don't remember his name, and I'm proud of them for placing second.
Did you say something? Sorry, I can't tell sometimes. I'll write this down.
Yeah, it went through on my side.
Wait, you deleted the other one?
Deleted what other one?
It's fine. All right, we'll keep going now. I wasn't sure if you said something or just like cut out from your internet, but I guess it was your internet. XD. Well, fuck, where did we leave off?
So yeah, I'm super happy that Chaos came in second.
Yeah, I think it's,
and did it without Samil.
For sure. I think it's definitely cool that even without a star player like Samil, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm surprised, because like, it's not like they're like, except Saberlight, I guess, it's not like they're like ragtag tier 2 players. Like, these players are pretty well known at this point and very well respected.
Yeah.
Especially the support,
and I guess
MSS and SVG are like probably one of like probably the best support duo in NA.
Are there like even any other support duos in NA?
No, not really. I wouldn't consider Crit and Fly an NA support duo.
No,
so they're
definitely
the best like authentic NA support duo.
That's so sad.
It is kind of sad, yeah. But I mean, it is what it is, and they're definitely good. They're definitely like not bringing shame on the good name of North American Dota. I won't go that far.
No,
they
of course
really
not.
Good.
Anyways, any other teams that you were excited
any
about?
I'm always excited about Campaign Gaming, because at ESL I got to talk to some people who are involved with Pain Gaming, and just like everybody who's from South America, from the South American Dota scene, is so incredibly passionate about Dota, which is really nice to see. And yeah, I'm not terribly hyped about any of these teams, even NIP. Like, I like Peter and Universe, but and Gunner, but I'm not incredibly like favorable towards Skeeter and Beaver. Like, I don't not like them, I just like don't know them, which is why I don't have a lot of positive or negative feelings to them. It's kind of like you know.
Yeah, they need to grow on you.
Exactly. But yeah, I was hype about Ed Finnem. You know, you remember these guys from the Boston Major?
Wait, is that the
Yeah, that's Greek the Greek. These are the Greek guys. And imagine, apparently they like brought all the OG players back for like this minor or something. So it's the original sport. Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's awesome.
Greek Dota, best Dota, apparently.
Well, but then they finished
it. Yeah, it happens. So. They haven't been to a win event in a while. I still believe in them.
Somebody's got to lose.
I still believe they could win TI if they try to. Anybody can win TI these days, Charlene.
Even
us? Even you. Like...
Oh my goodness.
If my mom believed hard enough, with your Rubik? I think she could win TI. Okay. I don't know, like winning there's been so many like crazy upsets at this point, especially considering what OG did last year. It's like, can really not anybody win TI? After what OG did, can you really reasonably say that? That like the team that's like I'm sure before OG won their first TI, people would like say that Ed Finnem is as bad as OG. So like, why can't Ed Finnem suddenly become gods?
I guess I see your point. Yeah. But like, what if you're limited by just reaction time? What if you just suck?
I guess, yeah. If you're like 90 years old and can't move your head, I guess then you can't win TI. But... Most of the general population that plays Dota could win a TI, I feel like.
Wow, that's so inspiring.
Okay. Let's have those apparently inspiring words move us into the next segment, which is, of course, Hero of the Week. Let's go.
You're tougher than Axe Bot.
Come along.
The Legion comes.
Have a cookie.
Meatball. More meatball.
I love you guys.
I'll set you bouncing on Armageddon's flank.
Oh, I love you guys.
All right. The Hero of the Week for this week is, drumroll, Chaos Knight, Charlene. Very cool.
Chaos Knight.
He's a very solid hero. Do you want to walk us through his ability, Shelly?
Yeah, so Chaos Knight is a melee strength hero. I think he's one of the few melee strength like carries.
Yeah, there's not a lot.
Think of Sven? Maybe Tiny? I think that's
I don't think you even count Tiny as a carry, to be honest.
Okay. Alright, so his abilities, Q is called Chaos Bolt. As you level it up, the stun duration goes up. Chaos Knight, part of his whole thing is that there's a lot of chance.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be, now it's kind of adjusted.
Spells.
I feel like...
Yeah.
Like...
There's still like a range though, because with Chaos Bolt, the stun, there's a minimum stun duration that you can get and then a maximum stun duration. So at level 1, it can be only 1.25 seconds or it could be up to 2.2 seconds. And as you level it up, it goes from a minimum of 2 up to a maximum of 4. Let's see. I think that's about it.
It's a pretty simple ability. It's like
pretty
damage dealing stun.
Yeah.
Never had that in Dota.
It's mana intensive for him, I guess, because he's a strength core, so he doesn't have too much mana. But it's very useful in lane because it'll help you get some kills, because any carry that can also offer a stun is pretty nice. His W is called Reality Rift. The chance in this one as well is just like where you land. So the spell itself will take you and your target, and it'll transport you as well as your target to any point along the line in between the two of you. So there's some cool like stop animation that you can do with it, because you can see where you guys will end up, and you can... I guess stop it from going through if you don't like where you're going to end up. So you can keep casting it until it's either like closer to you so that it's closer to your supports behind you or something like that. The cool thing about it though is that it gives you it slows their attack speed and also movement speed. Does it no longer
reduce armor anymore? They chain it to Balgo.
Okay, so there's no longer that. I was about to say that. But it's very cool to pair this with your stun, because the cast range of Reality Rift, once you get it to level 2, it is longer than the cast range of your Chaos Bolt. So if they're a little bit too far for you to stun, you can use your Reality Rift instead to bring them closer so you can stun. Yeah. His E is a passive. This one is, again, somewhat random because it's a crit. But what's cool about it is that when you crit, you will also lifesteal for a certain amount of the damage that you dealt. So, like, I think early levels in this is actually fine because it gives you
good sustain is crazy
in lane. Yeah, because like every now and then you're going to hit a creep, get your last hit from it, and then just heal up. And it's like, oh, okay. I don't need to buy regen. I can just get myself like my real items. I think that's it. And then his ultimate is called Phantasm. The chaos part of this one is the number of illusions that you get. So Phantasm,
Phantasm itself is... you get 3 every time.
No, don't you get a chance of spawning an extra one?
They removed that a while ago. What? I feel like I was going to do some deep reflection about this hero, but I can spoil this. This hero is now really good because they removed a lot of the random chance aspects.
Wow, okay, cool. Good to know. So Phantasm will always give you 3 illusions. So when you use it, you'll get illusions that deal at rank 1, 50% of the damage you do, but when you get to rank 3, they do 100% of the damage that you do. They just, like any other illusion, they just take more damage, so they're easier to kill. And I guess this trick still works with it. If you get an armlet with Chaos Knight and toggle the armlet on, and then use your Phantasm, you can, on your main hero, you can toggle armlet off, but your Phantasm illusions will still have the bonus strength and plus like attack damage and stuff that they'll get from the toggle on. And the Chaos Knight's Ags is tied to this. He can, if he gets an Ags, he can actually use this on an ally hero. So if you have a Luna or something like that, and this is a support Chaos Knight, you can use this and get a huge army of Lunas to
that's scary.
Push all the things. Yeah. And that's pretty much all I have. Oh, right, I always forget the talents. Hold on. Okay, so talents. At level 10, you get either +5 move speed or +5 all stats. Probably stats. Level 15, you either get strength or cooldown reduction. I like the reduction. Cooldown
reduction more here. This ult has a super long cooldown.
Yeah, and also, that
if you're going Midas, it's pretty good.
Good call. Level 20, Reality Rift pierces spell immunity or +150 gold. That's probably dependent on the game. If they have some spell immune heroes that you want to use it on, great. If not, I think you probably go with the gold.
GP on also core is pretty good.
Yeah. And then 25, you either get +2 max Chaos Bolt duration or -2 seconds on your Chaos Strike cooldown. I feel like the Chaos Strike cooldown...
Yeah, it's good. It depends on who you're up against, but it's most of the time the Chaos Strike cooldown, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah. Very cool. Let's talk about items really quick. Items on this guy are really straightforward. You, like, get Treads, maybe a Midas, maybe an urn, and then you just build stats. Like, that's pretty much it. Not an urn, sorry, a drums.
Yeah. Oh,
so you like build
Jeez.
Maybe Midas, maybe that's drums, weird. And then you just go like hard, Scotty, AC or something. You're just like build tanky stun because all you have more than enough damage from your ult, and the thing that gives more damage to your ult is building stats. So you're gonna build stats, which is gonna make you super tanky and give you more damage. And like maybe
what boots would you go though? Would you go face boots or
I would go treads definitely. Chaos Knight doesn't struggle with staying alive. When talking about the Zero, I want to talk about, first of all, why I think he's good right now. And I want to talk about support Chaos Knight. So why he's good right now? I think he's probably one of the best position ones right now because of two reasons. Traditionally, everything that Chaos Knight could do was really strong. His ult was super good, his stun was super good, his Chaos Strike was super good. But he always had one limitation, which was mana. Which is like, Chaos Knight Wisp was like one of the OG combos in Dota. Just because Chaos Knight is so mana starved, that giving him basically unlimited mana, like Wisp did, made him like inconceivably strong. Nowadays, mana in the current meta is so, so plentiful that even a hero like Chaos Knight doesn't struggle with mana that much, which automatically makes him really, really strong. Secondly, he's a lot more untrue to his theme than he used to be in the past. Like, his Q had, like, a way higher variance between minimum and maximum stun, same as his the damage it did. His W stayed mostly the same, but his E used to be, like, a 12% random chance, and now it's... And it did, like, 50% crit to, like, 500, like his numbers used to be way crazier, and his ult used to have like a random amount of phantasms that it spawns, so it had like a chance for a bonus phantasm. So like this guy was a lot more random. Nowadays, especially the way he changed his E, you can predict more, and in Dota it's very, very, very beneficial for you if you can predict when you will be able to do something strong. It's the same with Slaughter. The only reason Slaughter is good right now is because you can just like hit creep 3 times and then you're going to get a bash, so you hit the enemy hero. And having stuff that you can predict with certainty is so strong because in Dota you can play around it and abuse the mechanic. Because what you do with Chaos Knight in lane now is you lane normally, and then anytime you have your E on cooldown, you goddamn hit the offlaner. And since in the current meta, almost all offlaners are melee hero, Chaos Knight is really strong because he's so good against melee heroes. So a lot of why this guy is strong now is because they took away the random chance and instead gave the players predictable things that they could play around and abuse. Would you agree with this?
Yeah, I'm flabbergasted that when did they change his ulti?
I don't know, it was a long time ago. But yeah, I mean, it's another sign.
It was
like,
a long
his ult
time
used
ago?
To be way more random. Damn. Now it's just like an ability. Yeah. And I mean, Chaos Knight is still really good at everything he used to do before he was random. Like, he still one-shots every support with the click of a button. Like, most of the time in Dota, supports buy like an ult to disrupt fights. But what happens with Chaos Knight is he presses one button on you and he does so much damage so quickly that you just die.
I would also say, like, the entire meta at the moment is strength
favored. Yeah. Which is
so
great for Chaos
having
Knight.
If you're strength.
And also
carry,
he's good against strength heroes.
Well.
He's a tank that's good against tanks. He's so good against melee heroes in lane. Like, I laned against a Legion commander. I owned her because this E is just so strong and so abusable if you play around it correctly. Yeah, but secondly, I want to talk about support Chaos Knight, because it's been a like thing, but it's not really a thing for a while now. But now that support Luna is currently in the meta, where you like just build an axe, I think support Chaos Knight is going to be the next thing in the next meta. If it gets like one more tiny nerf to his axe or something, it's going to be really good. Because let me tell you, if you use this ult like... on a like Luna or a Drow on a Jug, like people don't live.
Yeah, it's insane. But wait, I feel like support Chaos Knight has been a thing. It's like the support Luna came out of nowhere.
I mean,
it's like, what?
Using it on himself is still really, 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 really good. Because like his E complements it so well and his W. But I still think it's... Because what you don't realize is when you use the eggs on like a Luna or something, and then you use your W on an enemy, like the illusions from the Luna still get pulled in. It's still your illusions. It's not their illusions. They don't have to control.
Oh wait,
them.
What?
Yeah. It's still your illusions. It's still a different hero. So you can still use the W on people and destroy them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, that's why I think Chaos Knight will be really strong in the next meta, and he's gonna be the new like Luna ish hero that like used to be a carry, but now his axe is just so good that people play him as a position 4.
He has a gold talent, so he can
exactly.
Get there.
Well, the he gold talent is at 20, but maybe they'll like move it down.
I know.
Yeah.
That's broken.
That's my take on Chaos Knight, pretty much.
WLD ahead
of the
meta.
Yet again. I mean, we did it with so much stuff actually. Like, I don't even watch pro games anymore because I like me and Jim have a flowchart that's mapping out the meta development for the next 15 years, and we haven't been wrong once since we started it 2 years ago. So
very nice.
Pro games are just boring. We're so ahead. Yeah. Charlene.
All right. Do you know what's not boring?
Noobs ask noobs. What a segue.
Holy shit! If you want peace, you must prepare for war. If you want war, you must also prepare for war. The lesson is, always prepare for war!
Got him. Alright, very nice. Let's start with the first question. What is the... From Bearlucked, I don't know that guy. What is the term/fad phrase, wiggle your wires? I have no idea.
I tried Googling it. I YouTubed it.
You YouTubed it. Damn. You're like 15 or something.
I YouTubed
Who
it.
Who YouTube stuff?
Yeah. I think Bea is ahead of his
maybe.
Own meta here. And maybe he... Yeah. Maybe he's debating
it
us.
It sounds like something that
make
Clockwork
wiggle your
wires. Would say. When he says like dance. He's like, yeah, wiggle your wires. Hey. Yeah.
What do you think it would mean?
I don't know. Just like dancing when you're a robot. So like, you wiggle your wires, you know? Wiggle your... It's like, in Germany we say, schüttel dein Speck. Which means, shake your, like, fat. But it's like a...
Shake
Yeah,
your
but
fat.
It's like, Speck is like a more cozy, nice way of saying fat.
Your chub?
It's like shake your chub, basically.
That's so endearing and
So I assume it would be like schüttel dein Speck, but in robot, I guess.
I think it's like a meta term for just like try and reset.
Yeah, that's also really
because
good.
We're in an age now where if something doesn't work, you just like turn it off and turn it back on. And like sometimes if it's not connected well, you just gotta wiggle the wires. So if you're wiggling your wires, maybe like something doesn't quite feel right.
The
and
tech support angle, I like
reset
it.
Somehow. Yeah, very the tech cool. support angle.
Oh, all right. Next question by RX Cowbell. Can somebody explain the new Chen builds? What new Chen builds?
I don't know. What
I think
the new
it's
Chen
like Dominator. I don't know. Chen's broken again. The hero is still an enigma to me. I don't understand what the hell he does. Yeah, I can't.
All right. Maybe we'll revisit this question where we can actually answer it. Or is this the perfect noobs ask noobs question?
Because
we're
noobs,
like noobs here.
Yeah. Very cool.
Look like noobs.
True.
We are noobs.
Want to read the next question?
Sure. Monsters?
No, the next one from RX Cowbell. I think it's a really good question.
Oh, okay. How do you find balance with giving children autonomy versus setting limits?
Ooh, that's okay. A hard one.
Both you and I are childless.
Yeah, but I'm a child. So I think I have a unique
scope. But you're a child. My goodness. I can use my experience with you.
Excuse me? Oh God. I don't like where this is going, but I think it's good content. So let's keep going in this direction.
Now that the WLDL is over for GGS, let me tell you. I think the best way is to give the illusion of autonomy within limits that you set. So at one point, our dear Arian here, our child, wanted to just become a full
dictator. I didn't say this. All right. We had a time where we like didn't have a direction. And previously, like, I don't know how this became a meme, honestly, because I literally never said the word or anything. I never suggested anything that's even close to that. So like, we were struggling as a team and like everybody was just like doing their own stuff. And before, as a captain, my approach was to like let people do their own stuff and kind of hope that it meshes. But obviously that wasn't working. So I was like, all right, I'm going to start making more like precise calls of what I want people to do and stuff. And then, I don't know, somebody...
And then you
I
also
did not
said,
say that.
Nobody can question
I didn't
me.
Say that.
I feel like all I right, can find screenshots.
Do you think I would ever say something like that? God damn it. Like, maybe. Then after I said that, Bear just like said dictator and now it's a meme for some reason. God. Also, I get memed way too hard by my team. Jesus. Everything I say turns into a meme. I like said Emi one time and now it's the biggest meme in the whole...
Oh, I love it. Emi. It's so great too because every now and then E's are just like with Chaos Knight. It's a passive spell. we'll just shout it.
Like I can't say anything anymore because it just gets turned into a meme by my team, man. God.
Flattery is, or what is the imitation is
yeah,
the
flattery is
form
the
of
biggest
flattery.
Compliment or something like that.
There you
but,
go.
But let's get back to the children autonomy question.
Okay,
my bad.
Okay.
Bit of a tangent here. Me personally, how my parents always did it for me, which I think is one of the best approaches, because let's say you don't want your kids like doing drugs or like going out late and drinking and stuff like that. In my, like, from my obviously very subjective experience, most kids, especially girls, where the parents would set very strict limits for like going out and drinking and stuff like that and going partying, those girls would almost be the girls who lie to their parents and just like said they're sleeping over at a friend's house, but then they're actually going to a party and stuff like that.
Oh, I can totally confirm.
So, like, if you set too strict of a boundary to your kids because you're worrying about them so much, you're gonna think you know where they are, but they're probably just lying to you. So, actually setting reasonable boundaries that your kids will... like that your kids will respect, but they'll actually adhere to the rules if the boundaries are set in a reasonable way and you explain to your kids why the boundaries are there. I think it's very important to not just be like, yeah, you can't do that because this is bad. You have to actually explain your reasoning to your kids, because I think in a healthy relationship between a parent and their kids, it's not just based on the parent's authority.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, honesty and having a good relationship,
yeah, exactly.
I think, is probably the foundation for having
so,
a good balance. Cause,
go on.
Oh, yeah, because if you set limits without them really understanding why the limits are there or appreciating that it's more your interest in their safety, then they're going to abuse those limits.
Exactly.
And, you know, go outside of them. But then also them understanding your perspective, you're in doing that, you're also entrusting them and giving them their freedom mm-hmm. to do things. So then I think yeah. that empowers their own autonomy.
And that also, like, for me personally, because my parents gave me so much freedom when I was, like, discovering going out and, like, drinking and all that's, like, everything, like, the whole party lifestyle, like, because my parents were so open with me and basically let me do most things that I wanted, I also felt a greater sense of responsibility towards owning up to that trust that my parents have placed in me. So, like, not do dumb stuff and, like, yeah, just, like, not do stupid stuff. That I think that responsibility that I felt would have not been there. I can basically confirm kids who have too strict of a rule set placed on them and who end up lying to their parents, they definitely don't have that sense of responsibility towards their parents. Yeah. Very cool. That's a...
Confirm.
Were your parents very strict?
My parents were super strict.
Did you lie
strict.
To them?
Super duper strict.
Yeah, see?
All the time.
Like, I think I haven't lied to my parents, like serious lies. I think there's, like, less than 3 in my whole life that I ever, like, lied to my parents about. And I can't think of any on the top of my head. Like, my parents always had the approach, like, to me and my sister, like, go out, do what you want, but please let us know where you are. So, like, I always texted my parents, like, yeah I'm going there now. I don't do that anymore. Like, now I'm just, like, I'm going out with my friends. But, you know, I'm 19 years old. My parents don't always have to know where I am all the time. But back when I was still, like, a dumb 16-year-old kid, I'm still a dumb kid, but I'm not quite as dumb. Back then, I always, like, felt really thankful. And I felt like, because I get so much trust put in me, that the rules and the boundaries that I have, I respect.
Yeah.
There's, like, a whole nother discussion of, like, drugs and alcohol that we could bring into this, but I don't think... I think we gave a pretty good answer to this question.
Moving on.
IRL fam, also from Rx Cobra. Man, these are some good questions. IRL family is getting a new dog. What do you want more than anything in the world?
I want to move.
You want to move
Europe
to Europe
and get a dog?
What? You're going to move to Germany?
Yeah.
Since when do you want to move to Europe?
I mean, since always. It's a long-term goal, though. I don't know how I'm going to
imagine.
Get there.
I mean, you're, like, what, a biochemist? Berlin is
geneticist.
Berlin has
biologist.
The strongest biochemical and, like, biological research division out of any German city. Just saying. I don't know what you want more than anything in the world. Right, I'd only want to comment on the IRL family is getting a new dog, because I have wanted a dog for, like, since I've grown up, and now I'm at a point that I earn a bit of money by myself where, like, reasonably financially could support a dog, even it would be kind of hard, but I could do it. But it's just such a bad stage of my life to actually get a dog that I'm not going to do it, because I'm responsible and I want to provide for
the
animal.
That's how I've felt for the last 10
years. Yeah, but I feel like you're in a position to get a dog.
Well, no, because I have 2
okay,
cats.
Okay, yeah, that's
and,
something
like,
different.
Wanna,
but imagine you didn't
lives.
Have a dog right now. Yeah. I think you are in a reasonable position to get a dog. I
probably
literally
yeah.
don't know where I'm going to live in 15 months. And I probably know that it's not going to be where I live right now. So it's a terrible time for me to get a dog. But I want a dog so much. Ugh. It's hard. Yeah, I would love to get a dog. I'm going to make the dream come true as soon as possible. But right now is not the right time.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's move on to Mozart's questions now. RX Cowboy got enough questions answered. We'll save the last one of his questions for next time. All right. Mozart asks, which heroes do you think deserves the most buffs? Thank you for asking. I think it's Storm Spirit. Storm Spirit is a dead hero right now. Please buff him. I don't care how much damage his Q gets. Please just make his ult good again. Make him have actual mana regen again and not whatever the hell he has right now. It's so terrible to play. Ugh, I hate it.
Well, what would you change?
I would change the mana regen formula back to how it used to be, so like Storm Spirit can get more mana regen again. Because like with a Bloodstone and another item, nowadays you have like half the mana regen than you had two patches ago. Which feels terrible, because the mana regen is what I loved about Storm.
You don't think that'd be, like,
I mean,
broken?
I'm down for nerfing his other aspects so he can have more regen again. Like, I don't care that... I mean, I don't want him to be imbalanced. And right now, he's, like, at a 47% win rate. He's not great, but he's playable, which is because his other abilities have been buffed so much. But to be honest, I don't want those other abilities. The reason why I love Storm Spirit so much is being able to zip around a lot. And that's just not a thing. It's kind of a different hero right now. So I want Storm to go back to the way he used to be. Yeah. I feel really strongly about this.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Who deserves the most buffs?
I would say Beastmaster.
That's a good one. Yeah, he's really weak right now.
I was just trying to think of heroes that I don't really see.
I think he would be a lot better if they made his ult undispellable. Do you think that's true? Because right now what happens is like Beastmaster uses his 90 seconds cooldown and then like somebody uses a Lotus on them and like bye, they run.
Yeah, that could be good. Because it's a BKB piercing thing, exactly. And it's really long stun, so yeah, that might be a good buff.
Next question. Do you like the current meta? Why or why not? I liked the current meta, but I think it's stale now. And I think pretty much everybody feels about it. I feel like this meta is truly one of the most balanced metas, which is really commendable. I think Dota has been way better in the recent years about not having super broken heroes for like 2 months. But I think the meta's stale, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I struggle to really think of a hero that I think deserves the most buffs. Because I think this meta is pretty balanced.
We have, like, explored all the different possibilities of the meta at this point. Like, all of the cool stuff that you wanted to try, like, you tried it a million times. The meta's done. New patch, please.
Yeah.
New patch, please.
New patch.
All right, next question by Brex. Why do I never see my boy Nyx in pubs anymore? I think it's the meta, honestly. Nyx is like a hero that focuses on applying pressure and map control, and the current meta is just like 5-manning and fighting. And Nyx isn't terribly good at that.
If you could bring back like Nyx Storm, ooh.
You cut out there, Charlene.
If you could, like, get Nyx and Storm back together, because Nyx will just hunt him out and then Storm will zip in all the way and do a murder. I am going through on my side.
Say it one more time.
Like, Nyx and Storm could pair well together. You could get a Nyx invading and setting up some kills for you, and then you can just zip in on them.
Yeah, very good, very good. All right, next question by Greg. What's your go-to fast food meal?
Five guys.
I don't eat a lot of fast food. I'd probably say tuna. Does that count as a fast food meal? Yeah, I really like tuna.
Tuna? How is that?
I don't know, because
food?
You can like prepare and eat it pretty fast.
You're such a good wholesome boy. Also, this is why I want to move to Europe, because I hear fast food and I'm like, oh, a fast food chain. You hear fast food and you're like, something fast to prepare for myself at home.
I don't eat fast food a lot, but I still have like a favorite fast food chain, I guess. It only exists in two other German cities. It's called Rissa. And it's a
What kind of food
is it? It's a chicken chain. So, like, it's basically like KFC. But it's aimed almost exclusively at Muslims. Because all the chicken is completely halal. Which, for people who don't know what halal is, it's basically the equivalent of kosher. So, they have to kill the animal in a certain way for it to be religiously ethical to eat. And I don't care about the halal part, but many other people know this. The chicken, in addition to being halal, just happens to be really, 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 really good. Way better than KFC.
Nice.
So I really like chicken. So sometimes, like once every 2 months, me and my friends will go to that place and like just eat a ton of chicken. It's really
delicious.
Sounds delicious. You should try it when you move to Europe.
Okay, yeah, we'll do.
All right, next question by Dora the Destroyers. What supports can best handle themselves if they encounter an enemy 1v1? Well, we could say handle themselves by like having a mobility ability, but I think in a straight up fight, it would probably be like Dazzle.
Yeah, Dazzle's really good. I was thinking Bane also, because he has like several lockdown things. His brain sap is pretty good.
Yeah. All right, the second to last question. What's your favorite spell to steal is Rubik. Thank you, Jim. Oh, you're so good. Well, I haven't played Rubik enough to say, like, hey, that's my favorite spell to steal is Rubik. But out of the spells I have stolen, I think Ags Quapult was the best because I got a triple kill out of it. Yeah, that felt really good.
That sounds pretty nice.
It was really fun. Rubik is a cool hero. Well, what about you, Shaline?
I honestly want to say, mm-hmm. Pudgehook is probably the best for me because playing against Pudges, they almost always do hook then rot. So it's so hard, but when you get to steal that,
get over here.
An incredible
initiation. Also, because the cast times are literally zero, it's not that Rubik players are just like magically better at hooking. It's just that the hook they get is a better version of Pudge's hook, which is also one of the reasons why I think Rubik is secretly way better than people realize. Because all of cast points are zero, like, you just get a way better version of the spells. Like, if a Rubik steals a Leshrac spell, it's like instant. It feels so much better.
Oh, yeah. And Ice Path.
Exactly.
Oh, it screws me up with Mirana, though.
True.
Because I'm such a big Mirana player.
I mean, if you have the timings, like, ingrained in your head, it kind of throws you off. All right.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Last questions, plural, by Elihu. What is your favorite pro Dota team logo? Not necessarily your favorite team, but your favorite logo. For me, it's Liquid. And coincidentally, the logo being, like me liking the design and the logo as much as I did, was also originally why I became a Team Liquid fan.
Dude, I don't even know.
You don't know? You're not drawn to logos?
Not really.
That's a pretty good take, I feel.
This is probably a lame answer.
Yeah, you're like...
Is it? I was going to give my lame answer.
Let's go. Secret? That's a pretty lame answer.
I like the eye. Because it's like all sneaky and then their team is called Secret.
Yeah, very creative joke. True.
Very lame. Okay.
All right, last question. I'll give you the honor of reading it, Shelly.
Ooh, okay. What's a change to a hero that you'd love, even if it would be really OP? Mine is a 0.5 second stun on Disruptor's Thunderstrike, along with Glimpse Control, sort of like...
Damn, that sounds pretty OP. Imagine being like... It's like Malephus...
really nice
It's changes. Like Malephus plus Thunderstrike. That sounds pretty OP. I think for me personally, it would be that Padre's Rod doesn't damage himself anymore.
Dude,
I mean, it would be super OP. I'm just saying.
That's so
it's what he wanted. Don't blame me. Blame Lee.
Okay. I would want 30-second cooldown on Tangalir's ulti, right, so you have like 100% uptime.
So like when you get the talent, it's instant, you can just expand that?
Oh, no, I know. If there's no hero in sight, you can always go into ball
form. I actually like that. I think if they nerfed him enough, that would be cool, like in other areas.
Then you can just roll around the map.
Yeah, it would be pretty good.
So great.
I'd support that.
He's like a mini storm spirit.
Yeah, I like that. Would also make a good of like fail clips when he like tries to get to his team, but he can't.
Probably.
Yeah. All right, I think this is it. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/welikedota. Follow us on Twitch. I'm starting to stream a bit on there, twitch.tv/welikedota. We're just welikedota on every platform. Yeah. Bye, guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.